Let's get to this bond market. 10's up 2, 30's up 4. Let's bring in our guest of this morning, Rebecca Patterson, Bridgewater Director of Investment Research. Rebecca, fantastic to start the show with you today, so thank you for joining us. Let's start with that one little line from Chairman Powell. The run-up in bond yields, a statement of confidence. Do you agree with that?
For now, absolutely yes. I mean, you're having huge fiscal stimulus, huge monetary stimulus. It's not surprising, given the issuance coming and the recovery coming, that bond yields are going to be higher and we're going to see the curve steeper.
Rebecca, your colleague Bob Prince has talked about the challenges of working at the zero bound. I think we're creeping away from zero bound. How urgent is it for the investment community to get back to normal while we can actually calculate a real sharp ratio? I mean, can we sustain this artificiality we're in? Or does Ray Dalio, Bob Prince, and Rebecca Patterson have to get back to something different?
Well, we like to think that we can find opportunities regardless of the economic environment we're in. So we don't need to get back to something different. But certainly a lot of investors would be thrilled to have bond yields that could give them some income and return and diversification the way it did decades ago. I don't think we're going to get to that place anytime soon. As you all talked about at the top of the hour, Chairman Powell is being very clear that he's not unhappy with rising bond yields for now. He is very happy to see inflation coming back. And I think that's the big thing we want to be watching this year is, do we get an inflation surprise on the upside thanks to everything we're seeing, the recovering economy, the fiscal and monetary stimulus, the new Fed framework. And as you just mentioned, and this is a secondary factor, but still really important, what we're seeing with global supply chains. It's going to be a longer background factor, but it's definitely an inflationary one.
All right, we'll get to that in one second. I do want to ask you about Ray Dalio, your colleague, speaking earlier this week in a LinkedIn post saying that about 5% of the top 1,000 S&P stocks, top 1,000 stocks in the United States, I should say, are in bubble territory. How does this end? Do these continue to climb upward, or can they sort of be deflated without a broader correction?
Well, agreed. We try to look for bubbles all the time across every asset class. And as Ray said, we see maybe as much as 10 or 15% actually of total U.S. stocks in what we define as bubble territory. These are mainly smaller emerging technology companies, often that have not had sustained profits yet. A lot of leveraged money going into these things. Bubbles can keep going up in the short term, but when you see all these indicators aligning, it tells you that their days are numbered. Will it take down the broader market? Given how small this is, it doesn't need to, but it's definitely something we're keeping an eye on. Overall, the total S&P does not appear to be in a bubble in our view.
You know, Rebecca, I'm going to be honest here. Ray Dalio can pontificate about Bitcoin, but he and I, our knowledge on currency equivalencies is about zero. And I'm going to suggest Mr. Dalio probably got a brief from the adult in the room, Rebecca Patterson, on currency equivalency. How can Bitcoin be a currency? What is it?
I wouldn't call Bitcoin an alternative currency. I think if anything, it's an alternative to gold or a digital gold. I think that would be the better comparison. You do have the same or similar supply constraints, and it is something that investors have been looking to as they worry about fiat currencies being devalued by all this central bank printing. But Bitcoin, if you're speculating on it, a lot of people out there have made a lot of money on it. As an institutional investor, I think we don't know yet if it's going to be digital gold. It may be over time, but I don't think we can say that with confidence yet. And that affects our view on whether or not we think our clients should own it.
All right. So going forward, what will be the trigger that'll signify that this is digital gold and will give a green light to Bridgewater to start investing client money in it?
Well, I don't think there's one green light that would have Bridgewater invest in it. But I think there are a couple things we'd definitely be watching carefully. First, we wanted to see lower volatility. I mean, right now, Bitcoin can move 10% on a tweet. That's not exactly a storehold of wealth for most institutional investors. So the volatility of Bitcoin is about 10 times that of euro dollar. It's still double that of the Venezuelan bolivar. So that gives you an idea. You want to see a lower volatility, more stable asset if you want to consider it as a storehold of wealth, a diversifier. I think secondly, and these are related, you want to see greater liquidity. And I think, and that takes me to the third thing, which is regulatory certainty. The more you get a real regulatory ecosystem developing around Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, the more other types of investors are going to be comfortable coming in. That's going to bring the liquidity. That's going to reduce the volatility. So I guess if there were one thing I were watching first, it would be seeing more regulatory certainty. And I'm not sure when that's going to come in the U.S.
Really important comments, Rebecca, and always great to catch up with you. Thank you. Rebecca Pasterson there, Bridgewater Director of Investment Research.